You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids,
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's a dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. It's another wonderful Friday night of the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I am Martin Bruda.
Me. Chris Gilpin.
Adam Bishop.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Apparently, it's up to Adam to go, comics!
Comics!
We gotta talk about comics. Before we get started, I have a bone to pick with Chris Gilpin here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I listened to last week's radio show, and it was Chris, and Dan. And Dan proceeded to just destroy and annihilate comic book TV shows, all in the name of keeping, domestic peace and quiet in his home. When we all know that he really likes these TV shows, and the TV shows are awesome, especially Pennyworth. And you just let him just...
I was hiding under the desk.
You just didn't even stand up for a great TV show.
He was getting vicious.
He was getting angry.
Yeah.
We should have a couple of erotic comic books in the studio here and just whack him upside the head when he gets ranty like that. But yeah, Pennyworth is a great show. I like it. You like it?
Yes, I do.
I've never watched it. You're not watching it.
No, yeah, I don't watch it.
Now, just for the record... As a Batman comic book reader since 1972-ish, 73-ish, Alfred had a long-standing history of being an ex-SAS operative, and that's how he learned all the medic skills whenever Batman showed up with like a Joker harpoon in his neck and Alfred stitching him up and stuff like that. So that was always part of the character.
Yeah.
Not as big as in Gotham. Like, they really went over the top with that, you know, making... What's his name? Sean. He's the son of a Doctor Who, isn't he? What's the name of the actor who played Alfred in Gotham?
No idea.
Everybody's thinking.
I never watched it.
But his dad was one of the Doctor Who's.
Sean Penn.
No. Anyways, Chris is looking it up. We'll get it here in a minute. Our brains are a little rusty this Friday. Yeah, they really went big on that in Gotham. They really went into the whole he's a commando thing and he wasn't old and stuff like this, but. That was always a part of it. And Alfred always had black hair in the comic books in the 70s. He wasn't that old. Definitely not as old as he was in the 66 TV show. That was hilarious. Especially when he had the mustache with the cowl. That was the best.
Sean Pertwee?
Pertwee, yeah. Pertwee? He was the fourth doctor. His dad is the fourth doctor.
Oh.
Pertwee.
Tweet.
I feel like Sam is just having a bird right now because that's one of his favorite doctors. What have we been doing all week?
You didn't like Batwoman?
Batwoman. Oh, I did not like Batwoman. I want to like Batwoman. I really want to like Batwoman.
Is it canceled yet?
Not yet.
Not
but
yet, okay. It's on its way.
It had the lowest ratings of any comic book CW show premiere.
But ratings is like a poll. Of asking how many households, 400?
Yeah, 500? Exactly. But it even though it had the lowest number of any comic book show, it still outperformed a lot of CW shows, period.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's a minuscule success, it's still a success. It still did well enough.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll see. It has potential, I guess.
Yeah, because I saw the article, 1.something million viewers or something like that.
Yeah, so out of... what's the population of the U.S.? 330 million?
Yeah.
1 million tuned in for the show? But that's, like Adam was saying, that's 1 million through through Nielsen boxes. Who watches broadcast TV anymore?
Who signs up? Seniors.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody else is going to stream this stuff. I mean, we watched it, streaming it through pirate means because Canada sucks and we don't get DC Universe here. Eventually that'll come, maybe. I keep getting ads for Disney Plus. And they keep saying, oh, you know, if you sign up now, it's only X number of dollars for the year. And if you sign up now, you can sign up for 5 years and only pay for three and all this stuff. And every time you click on the link, it takes you to the site. And then you see the address change to DisneyPlus.com. DisneyPlus.com/EN-CA, right, for English Canadian. Mm-hmm. And it says, press here to be kept apprised of changes. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you jerks.
When it comes out, it's going to tell you, it's like, with your cable package, you can add this on. And exactly. That's what will happen with that.
So there's no deals for the Canadian broadcast yet, but apparently it's coming. Apparently it's going to be released the same day in Canada.
Lies.
Well, apparently. I know I'll be signing up for that. I got to watch The Mandalorian. Come on now. Who doesn't want to watch The Mandalorian?
What? What? It's only Star Wars.
What?
Now, if it was a new Andromeda.
What? Andromeda was like the worst.
Oh, it was great.
It was horrible.
5 seasons of nonstop action.
Nonstop. You know, that was a
Republican Kevin Sorbo.
You know, that was a reboot, eh?
Yeah, because it was.
It was like a TV movie pilot back in the 70s. I have those.
Do you?
Yeah, Dylan Hunt. I'm trying to remember what one was
they
called.
They changed his name. Didn't they?
No, no, he was always Dylan Hunt.
Okay. I remember reading
trying to remember what it was called. It was like Genesis X was the name of the TV show or something.
Stupid.
Like that. Yeah, I've got both of them on tape somewhere. Mm-hmm. Tape. VHS. Tape. I have them on tape. All right. So, what else we got? Anything interesting?
Well, the X-Men wrapped up the Power of X.
Yay.
Yes. House of X, Power of X wrapped up.
It was great.
Did you... But, Marty, you didn't read Powers, did you?
I didn't read Power of X, but I did read House of X.
You should have read Powers of X.
Yeah. Were you reading it?
Yeah, I read all of it.
Oh, nice.
I'm all caught up. I loved it.
There you go.
Because number six, Powers, kind of, it wraps everything up. So yep. You kind of have to...
This is the status quo. This is, from now on, this is what the story is and all the rules.
Well, they kind of set that up in House of X, the last issue of House of X.
I guess this is...
House of X was when they put the tribunal for the government together.
Yeah. See, without reading, because we've read both, I don't know what he doesn't know because it all kind of blends.
Mm-hmm.
But Powers is the, was it year one, year 100, 1,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of like went in the future a little bit and told you what was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still a little confusing to me with the lives of Moira, but...
Yeah, so should we do spoilers?
Yeah.
It just wrapped up. So
forget it. Spoil the snot out of it.
How many Mary Sues did you count?
I don't know.
No? Like 4 or 5. Just
now, for the uneducated?
Mary Sue is just your plot point. Like, you have to explain it. This is how it works. You're like, oh, okay. Because you're like, why? And it's just something made up to make it all work.
Yeah. In movies, it's called a MacGuffin.
Yes.
Right. So it was like the thing that explains the chaos that you're creating.
Yeah. Yep. So at one point, she's alive 1,000 years in the future with Wolverine, and the guy goes, oh, it's a good thing you guys have the same blood type. And I'm like, really? It's like, so Wolverine's what, just slitting his wrist and be like, here, take some of my blood, get younger. I don't know.
Well, he does have the healing factor, right? So yeah. I guess if you got a transfusion from Wolverine, it would give you a little bit of healing factor for a little bit.
Yeah. So in the end, they defeat the Sentinels permanently?
I believe so.
Yeah. And it's not Sentinels that are attacking them anymore. It's...
Phalanx.
Yes. Well, in the end, they destroy everything. But before that, it's Homo... Do you remember what it's called?
Oh.
The third race that...
Yeah. Yeah.
Here it is, Martin. You can try and say it. He's Polish.
I'm there Polish. I can't pronounce anything. Homo novissima.
Yes. So they're new genetically humans. Engineered humans once humans are no more. Well, there's the whole...
Post-humanity is a manufactured branch of humanity not restricted by normal evolutionary constraints.
And that's what kills off all the mutants.
There you go. In 1,000 years from now.
Yeah. In the branching humanity history written by...
Now,
Mr. Man,
here's my trick question. Mm-hmm. We know that Moira MacTaggert has that whole she dies and everything gets reset, which isn't a mutant power. It's time travel, so I don't know how you can have a time travel mutant power.
No, if you watch the movie The Butterfly Effect, it's just like when Ashton Kutcher goes back into his baby body because he remembers everything, and that's how her power works.
Yes, okay, but that's still not a mutant, a gene mutant change. Anyways, that's little Mary power. Sue / MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the 1,000-year advanced look at the world is mm-hmm. one of those alternative timelines yep. and not an actual timeline?
It is. Yep.
There you go. So yes. really, Hickman can do whatever he wants.
And how did they reset it? Same way they reset it a few issues before, probably.
They killed her?
Wolverine killed her, yeah.
Yeah.
What the? Turned out, you're so bloodthirsty.
That was her sixth life?
Yeah, it turns out it was only her sixth life.
Of how many again? I thought they said
10. Was it? But Destiny said maybe you have one more left in you at some point.
Yeah.
However, just because you saw her die 1,000 years from now with her sixth death doesn't mean the ninth death hasn't already happened. You were just looking at a different timeline in a different chronological order.
If they're not lying about the order, then it was their sixth death. As long as they're not lying, but they can retcon it at any point.
Well, they
said
they had the first time he killed her, that was the ninth.
Was it? Because she was near the... Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that they're showing those timelines in chronological order.
No, they're not. Definitely not.
So, okay, this supposedly sets everything up. X-Men number one's coming out next week, mm-hmm. and then X-Force and Marauders. Is it
number one, yeah.
Is it next week, or is Dawn of X out next week?
I think Dawn of X and X-Men.
The series. Oh. That's what the series is called.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everybody whips out their phones to check their...
Okay, I just assumed that Dawn of X was like a one-shot.
That was like the...
I think that's the name of the storyline.
Yeah, that's the arc or whatever they want to call it.
Everybody gets quiet as we all fire up League of Comic Geeks to find out what we're pulling next week. Yeah, X-Men number one is coming out next week.
Okay.
But Dawn of X might be coming out as a special too. I just didn't pull it. So, okay, this is the whole thing was to set up this new status quo to relaunch the books and everything.
Yep.
Do you think they're actually going to reference a lot of that 1,000?
I don't think so because it technically didn't exist.
Yeah, Dawn of X is, I think that's the...
The name of those, the arc, yeah.
Obviously she was killed at some point. I don't know. Is she still alive in X-Men number one? That's the question.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Is she still alive or not?
Yes, because when Wolverine stabbed her, then that's when she met Xavier, and that was the whole... House of X is that the seventh life.
Oh, okay.
So if you read all of Powers first, and then you read all of House of X, then that would be a perfect order, because you're, okay, this is how, everything didn't work out, and now this is where it is, and then...
Wow.
Yeah, so that I'd recommend reading in that order, if you don't want to be more confused.
Yeah, yeah.
And then how many people are translating these books? That's the other question, because it was Bendis, right?
Yeah.
Was it Brian Michael Bendis? Is that
Jonathan Hickman.
Yes, Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah.
So Hickman has apparently a history of writing his own languages in books.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's what he did with the X-Men. All the mutants know this mutant language, and he wrote the alphabet, like his crypt code.
Yeah.
And then all throughout the first issues, all of them are like pages where it's just written in that. I'm like, I don't want to sit there and get up my pencil and paper and be like, okay, this is a B. At the end, it just says, you wasted your time.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine?
Yeah.
Come on. I don't know.
No? Okay. Christmas Story reference? No?
Okay. I don't know.
I haven't watched in a long time. But yeah, I'm super excited to see where they go until they just go reset again.
Well, that's the point, right? Is they're just kind of refreshing things because people are tired of what happened. And I think it's interesting enough to as a reboot to kind of get new storylines and stuff. So I'm excited about the direction. But my trick question, from a comic book plot point of view, but from a retailer point of view, do I have to read every single series to get this,
or am I going to be okay? Yes. But then I'm assuming once you hit issue 2 of each, it'll be separate stories or just like, hey, they're fighting. I don't even know what they're going to do with these issues because it's not going to be mutants fighting mutants anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be mutants are all mutants are good people, and then like the middle ground, because Apocalypse is sitting in the bushes being like, oh, it's a party.
Yeah.
As Dazzler's like, pew, pew, pew. So who knows? But we also know that death no longer matters. even more in this, because you see a bunch of, like, all the AAA guys die, and then you have, who was it? It was Hope and four random people that don't matter that make the pods.
Yeah, I
don't even
know. Gold Ball.
Yeah, they make a gold ball. So
no, but
make,
that's his name. That's the guy that makes the ball. It's Gold Ball.
Yeah, yeah. They make a Matrix pod for them to be reborn, and then Hope, the Professor X, has their memory. He's like, I'm going to Arnold Schwarzenegger 6-day you and give it back.
Yeah.
So that's basically where they've gone then. Is, like, I didn't know if it was going to reset again and then be new or continue on from...
Yeah, from what I took, that's, like, all of House of X's after Powers of X. Because from what I could tell from reading it.
Yeah, I think it's all going to count. So if Wolverine gets killed again, then he can be reincarnated.
Because everything was building up to them getting their own society, being their own, I guess, island. What was it? National? Or they, what did they want?
Yeah, they want to become a nation.
Yeah, their own nation. That's what I'm looking for, yeah.
No, it did look like there were multiple islands, one in the Atlantic, one in the Pacific.
It's one big island, and then they have stargates around the world that they all just go to.
No, but I mean, in the book itself, they said that there was Pacific, and then a Krakoa.
They just had an island map with different sectors.
Yeah, but one said Pacific, and one said Atlantic.
It might be just like the side facing the oceans. I can't remember.
No.
Yep.
I remember the maps, but I don't remember the...
There's definitely two islands.
There's one.
There's two. There's two. He's looking it up on his pirate app.
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about?
I enjoyed reading the books. But in order to do this, he had to take a character with an established history and change her.
Yeah, but...
But she had never died, so it was okay.
No, she did die before. Did she?
But it's okay. I mean, like, it is what it is. Like, you just gotta let go and realize that we're not the target demographic anymore. So, you know, like... And that happened all the time. I mean, Peter Parker, you know, finished high school and went to college. He was working at the Daily Planet... the Daily Bugle, and then he moved and you started working for somebody else. Superman used to work for Daily Planet and then started working for... What was it, GBC or GBS or something like this? Or, you know, and it wasn't Perry White, it was his boss, it was the other guy. And, like, stuff changes, you know? So this is the change, this is the new status quo. So long as they tell good stories, then I'm with it. But if it gets really convoluted and complicated, out it goes.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you guys lost me with X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue, so we'll see how long you last with this. Couldn't be any crazier than the Green Lantern reboot that's going on. The was it the Black Stars or whatever?
Yeah.
And I'm not getting that.
No.
That's crazy.
I kind of chuckled there in the Matrix party that they were having.
Yeah.
With Dazzler and Siren screaming at her to get this.
And when they were being reborn, Storm takes up the Morpheus role being like, mutants, who is this? They're the mutants. And I'm like, wow. And that's on the... 2 weeks ago, I was like, this really reminds me of so many movies. Just scenes ripped from movies, which is fine.
Well, that is a signature of Hickman, apparently. I'm not very particularly familiar with him, but apparently he does. He liberally...
just say parody, that way it's okay.
He is influenced by other pop culture, and he brings those references into the comic books that he writes. Yeah, he steals plot lines left, right, and
center. Oh, yeah.
Apparently he does it all the time, and this is his thing. But, to be fair, I mean, Stan Lee used to do the same thing. He would steal stuff from Shakespeare. He would steal stuff from Taming of the Shrew, and he'd turn it into, you know, a comic book and a character like that. He did that stuff all the time. Like, Iron Man is basically the man in the Iron Mask and stuff like this.
I thought that was Doom.
Yeah, Doom. Sorry, okay. Dr. Doom. So, like, he does that stuff. Yeah, I was getting Iron and Iron confused. Like, that stuff happened all the time. Like, I remember there's a ton of issues in the 70s, one-offs of, like, a Batman story or something like this, and you're reading it, and you find out, this was a Shakespearean sonnet that got converted or a short story by Twain or something like this, and they're just... retelling it in a comic book way. So that stuff happened all the time.
So every story that we know, every crossover, do they no longer exist?
No, they exist in an alternative timeline.
Yeah, this wouldn't be 616 anymore? Or would it be the new 616?
Jeez. I don't know.
So yeah, they did exist at one point, just not anymore.
Did they say anything about how these rebooting of timelines is affecting the rest of the universe, or are they just leaving that out?
I think it would only affect mutants. Like, yeah. Because in the end, it doesn't matter, but...
So they're trying to say, no. The rest of the world, because Moira isn't influencing it, happens exactly the same way, and they don't get rebooted on a regular basis. I can't see that.
Yeah, she was I don't know.
From a science point of view, if this is the hard science that you guys are going with, that she can time travel as a mutant power, her genetics have allowed her to time travel and retain her memories then it would butterfly effect affect the rest of the universe. It has to. Now, that doesn't mean that the other writers and artists and stuff have to reference it. They can just keep going on their own and just, that shit's happening over there, but we're whatever.
So it's not perfect. I mean, a lot of the big Marvel guys like Adam here think it's perfect. But
oh, yeah. It's not perfect. It's a good start for people who haven't read the X-Men in a while. Every reboot's a good start, though.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You can do a reboot and blow it.
Yeah.
Or you can do a reboot and get people excited, which is the purpose. And
yeah.
Me, I'm a lapsed X-Men reader, and I'm interested and I'm excited, and I've signed up for Marauders, X-Men, and I think X-Force.
Yeah,
I think X-Force.
Yeah, Cable never showed up in this, which was weird. But, well... Or Nate Gray, and he's in the new books?
Because they're time-traveling mutants, and they would know about
all
this.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it's true.
So they're all like, Moira does that thing where she does that thing.
It was a good story to get new stories, because you can't tell the same stories with where they are, because they have their new island that they're on, and all the bad guys are friends now, except for Sabretooth.
Yeah. He's been banished.
Which I'm pretty sure in the 1,000 year, he was the shadow jumping at. The guy, because he had the spike on his elbow. I'm pretty sure it was Sabretooth, which would make sense. But he said two mutants left, and that would have been three.
Yeah.
And we just killed Sabretooth, so they would be the two left. But yeah, I'm 100% sure that was Sabretooth. Yeah. Which.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's done. It's done what it's supposed to. It's reinvigorated interest in the book, and they're going to get some sales out of it, and we'll just see if it's sustainable. Is it going to be interesting from here on going forward? Is this just here's all this fancy status quo stuff, and we're just going to ignore it, and we're just going to tell stories, or are we going to be doing it?
Do you think I'm showing Chris that, do you think it's Sabretooth? Let me just blow this up, and maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Didn't Sabretooth get swallowed up by the island?
Yes,
1,000 years ago.
Penance?
Yeah, but he was to lay there dormant, aware but not aware.
Yeah.
So he's
This is punishment.
Yeah.
Because I guess it's the law, if they kill him, they have to resurrect him because he's a mutant. Always make more mutants.
Well, he's just down there. He won't die down there.
Yeah, but they were saying in the council that they didn't kill him for a reason.
Don't kill humans,
No, they in the council, they said, well, we can't kill you because if we do, the resurrection protocols kick in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to banish you to the center of the island forever and ever to have snakes drip venom in your eyes. No, that's Loki. that's somebody else. But anyways, he's even stealing from comic books. But... and then they were the three rules. So
yeah.
I'm assuming this resurrection protocol means, mutant life is so precious that if you die as a mutant, you're coming back no matter what.
No, they don't have to worry about that because one of the protocols is make babies.
I know that, but it just seemed they basically said, we can't kill you as a punishment because then this resurrection protocol kicks in. So, and they didn't expand on what that was. I wasn't sure that they covered that in Powers of X, but it sounded like to me... the sort of prime directive that if a mutant dies, we bring him back because it's us against them. It's us against the humans. So we need as many mutants as possible before Maximoff opens up her mouth again and kills 90% of us.
Mm-hmm. So what about Wolverine being reborn with his adamantium?
Apocalypse was there, so he could have just been like, there you go.
Oh.
There's a reason for everything.
See, it's not perfect.
No.
Cyclops sort of came out with his visor.
He came out with his visor. Did he really?
He had
his eyes closed. And
Wolverine, if Wolverine came out with this non-genetic, then everyone else should come out in their costumes and their...
Does that mean anybody who had a scar comes back without a scar? Yeah. Because they never actually experienced that scar?
Well, Cyclops, he lost an eye at some point.
Yeah.
And now he's got both eyes
back.
Well,
yeah, because he comes back so, with... Like if heals. if you're coming back from a genetic map, then you're coming back with a genetic map, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like Professor X, he looked like he was floating everywhere. And, he's very like.
And you guys were giving Alfred Pennyworth crap for being an SAS.
Screw Alfred.
Really? Really? It's unbelievable that this guy was a commando in World War II, but Hickman can do all of this stuff, and it's okay.
That's a TV show. It feels like it needs to be based more in reality.
Yeah, this is a comic, Marty. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Shut up. Speaking of movies, has anyone seen Joker yet?
No.
No.
Is everybody waiting for a reason, or like, why are we not all excited and going to see this opening day?
No Batman.
No Batman.
It's not a superhero movie.
No.
Like... Or a super villain movie. I don't even. It's
just throw Super on again with Rainn Wilson. Just watch that, and you'll have a better time. Yeah,
but like Guardians of the Galaxy, for example. Nobody, like, I knew who they kind of were.
Yeah, no, but I mean,
but like, nobody was paying attention, and then the movie comes out, and it's Kick Buttowski, and everybody liked it.
But I mean, there's no Batman, right?
Yeah, I think that's a movie for people who are not comic book fans.
Yeah,
yeah, that's not for us.
I mean, like I said before, if the movie ended with him falling off a gangplank into some ooze and turning into the Joker we know, then it would be different. But as far as I know, he doesn't.
Now, me personally, I hate pretentious film. I'm there for give me a good car chase, a good gunfight or laser fight. A car chase can be substituted with like a fighter plane battle or a spaceship battle, and then boobs and bums. You know, that take me away from real life. The last thing I want to do is watch a 3-hour movie on somebody with AIDS. Mm-hmm. Because if I want that kind of stuff, it's right outside my window.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch a 3-hour movie of this fellow in Philadelphia dealing with cancer and all this sort of stuff. Because if I want that, it's happening right down the street with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see a movie about a couple divorcing.
Yeah.
It's not entertainment for me. That's not entertainment. So these pretentious movies and the film artsy type people that like Scorsese and stuff like this, I find it, we can talk about his quote, but I find it kind of funny that he had this knock on comic book movies for not being real enough when he does this over the top gangster flick with these over the top characters that are nowhere near reality.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an entertaining movie as heck. I loved Casino. Yeah. That's him, right? He did Casino?
I believe so.
You know, I love Scorsese films, but, you know, he's not doing The English Patient and The Piano and that kind of stuff. I hate that stuff. There's one year where they released nothing but farm movies. Sissy Spacek was in one, and they were defending the farm against the flood and the bankers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want to see that crap.
Do you think it's an artsy movie?
So, yeah, like I was saying, like, as soon as they start talking about it, like, he does this tour de force performance, and he's acting, and he's, like, Daniel Day-Lewis? Ugh! The guy has no redeeming value in my books. Like, I just don't want to see anything that he does. Like, but that's acting as an art form.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me that nonsense. Robbie Downey Jr. redefines the character of Iron Man and the character growth from the first Iron Man movie all the way to Endgame. That was acting.
Yeah.
That was excellent acting.
Yeah.
That was character progression. That was, you know, everything that they teach in art school. But it's like, oh no, it's a comic book movie. It doesn't count.
You have to give credit to Todd Phillips. I had to look up his name. The director who also directed movies such as...
He did a bunch of comedies, didn't he?
Yeah, he did Road Trip, Old School, Starsky and Hutch, The Hangover Trilogy, Due Date.
You know, so the Joker.
I will watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch it eventually. But they keep talking about how, you know, this is such a definitive and this is such a highbrow artsy. Like, to me, it's an art film. It's not an entertainment film.
Yeah.
So I'm positive I'll watch it at some point in time, but I'm not rushing out to go see it opening weekend.
When I go watch a movie, I want to sit there and be entertained. I don't want to have to turn off and think about it.
Yeah. Like, make me forget about death and taxes.
Yeah.
Make me forget about budgetary deadlines and tax filings and payroll deductions. Make me forget about divorce lawyers and therapists, and just take me away for 2 hours. That's what your purpose is in my life.
Not do that.
If it's, you know, like Sam Tweedle, for example, loves silent movies and some of the old movies from history and stuff like this. And that's awesome. You know, if that's his thing, that's great. It's not my thing, but it doesn't mean he's wrong. It doesn't mean I'm wrong. It's just that's what he's getting out of cinema. And that's one of the beautiful things about comics, cinema, novels, is you've got all these different genres, all these different characters to appeal to a wide range of people. What one person likes, somebody else doesn't have to. There's no rule to say that. Yeah. I just don't dig it. I just don't dig it. Right from the get-go, this whole movie was just like, I'm like, ugh. I'm going to see somebody overacting, and they're going to change the character, and it's not going to make any sense. And then they're going to throw in a comic book reference, which takes you out of the performance, because then you realize that it's a comic book movie, but it's not a comic book movie. And if they just didn't mention Thomas Wayne at all, you could just like live in this Joker world for a few hours. And I don't know. I'm just not excited. Just not excited.
Yeah.
Like, can you even call it a comic book movie?
No.
Really?
It's a movie based on comic character.
Like Pennyworth. It's not the superhero movie. It's not.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. Like, Pennyworth is a James Bond spy thriller adventure. It's not a comic book. It just happens to star the butler from Batman. But, like, I'm not. And, like, you watch Smallville. You expect it at some point in time he's going to put on the cape and fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At no point in time am I expecting to see Batman in costume in the Pennyworth show.
Yeah.
Butler just not dressing down his wound. Like, yeah. There you go, Bruce.
Yeah, you know, I'm like some flashback, and you find out that this is Alfred talking to Batman, telling him tales while he's like stitching him up and stuff. Like, let me just prepare this compound fracture master. Wink. So I don't know. I'm not excited. Doesn't sound like anybody else is.
No.
To rush out and go see it.
No.
What movie are we waiting to go see?
New Mutants.
Oh my gosh.
I'm joking.
But it looks like still not dead yet.
No, it's coming. It's coming.
It looked like an interesting take.
Yeah.
I don't know of any other movies. Like, are we just
Star
movies?
Wars? Are we just like Star Wars? Is that what we're waiting for, really?
Yeah. Not Adam, though.
No, I haven't seen the last three.
Like, is anything coming out before Christmas that anybody's excited about other than Star Wars?
Not really.
No.
Dead silence. No.
Now,
Kevin Boyd.
TV shows. Lots of TV shows.
Kevin Boyd on Facebook. Those that don't know him, he's works for the Fan Expo folks, in charge of comic talent, booking comic talent and stuff like this, and coordinating Artist Alley. And you just look him up. He's got a great resume. Don't worry about it. But he was talking about how, in regards to this Joker movie, and how some people are slagging these event tentpole type movies, and nobody's going to the movies anymore just for a regular film. So a Jennifer Aniston rom-com is not getting the numbers.
Yeah, which she spoke out about.
And yet everybody is like flocking like crazy to go see Endgame. And I'm like, well, that's because of Netflix. That's because of streaming and Disney Plus and stuff like this. Like, the average TV show is now an eight episode miniseries being put out by Amazon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's going to the movies to watch just a casual film to be entertained on a Friday. You're literally looking at the calendar months and years in advance going, okay, May is this movie and March is that movie. You're not like sitting there on a Friday going, well, let's go see what's playing. And go down there and watch something. You're sitting down with the Netflix and you're chilling. You're watching the Netflix.
You're going, I can't find anything I want to watch.
Oh, isn't that the worst, where you spend an hour and a half flipping through Netflix?
No, it's the worst when you're like, I need to type the show, and you're like, N-D. Oh, that's horrible.
Oh. Chris is like, my pirate box lets me attach a Bluetooth keyboard, it's so true. I can just go, and then I can watch a 420p version of it that stutters.
No, it needs to be Real Player, so an RM file at 70k a second.
Come on, what's wrong with Real Player? That was the cat's pajamas back in the day.
Yeah, back when I was on the IRC on someone's F server, being like, oh, Lisla, I need to download these episodes. Oh no, I remember the pain.
Back in the day on the Yak BBS here in Peterborough with my 14.4 modem. Nobody, where it took an hour to download a floppy disk.
Nobody pick up the phone.
Microsoft Word was 8 floppy disks. It took me 8 days to download it because you can only download for an hour at a time.
Yep.
So I could pirate Word 2.0.
Oh, I brought a comic.
No.
Yes.
Come on now.
Shut up.
Stop. Shut the front door.
2 weeks ago, I brought one in, but you guys obviously weren't here, so I want to bring another one.
Melon Farmer.
So I want to bring another one.
Oh, these are awesome.
Which is the Stan Lee edition.
Don't rest it on the table. You'll shorten something out.
Yeah. So they got to... Oh, and I don't know if you guys have ever gone through...
Have you ever opened this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Plenty of times. There you go.
So this is the Stan Lee Marvel Treasury Edition. It is 11 by 17. This... I mean... 812 pages? 815.
It just keeps on going.
816 pages. The thing weighs, I don't know, 90 kilos?
And it's beautiful, just the...
Oh, it is.
How crisp and clear it is. It's bright.
Donovan, we mention him often, Donovan Jacek. That's one of his actual day jobs, is to sit there and recolor old comics like this. Like, he's done many, many of the Marvel masterworks.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people say, oh, you're ruining it. But if you're a good person, like a good... colorist like Donovan is, he tries to stay really true to the original colors, and he doesn't like embellish and stuff.
He's restoring it.
Oh, Amazing Fantasy number 15. I just bought the facsimile edition. I've never actually read it in a reprint or anything. I've never read Amazing Fantasy 15, so I bought the facsimile edition so I can read it.
Yeah, so these are going to be Stan's and other unnamed people's greatest works, I would assume.
This is huge.
You're like... Just MJ, like, undressing there for some reason.
What?
With,
Is she putting on doll? Oh, we got paper dolls in here. Can I cut out the paper dolls? Is that Millie the model? No, that's Patsy Walker.
Is that Patsy?
Yeah, Patsy Walker, 119.
Never mind.
Before Patsy Walker was Hellcat, she was a fashion model,
so
comic.
Yeah, whenever I see these, if they're at 100, then I'll just definitely grab them, and then, yeah they're just... Oh, here comes
Sanity. Now that reminds me of that. Do you have the Marvel?
I have the 75th
anniversary
one.
Is it that big or is it slightly smaller?
It's the same size. It doesn't come with this.
A slut, yeah.
Yeah, which was unfortunate. So I
because they reprinted it a couple times in slightly smaller volumes.
Oh, okay.
I have the smaller volume.
That's heavier than two long boxes.
Now there's a DC one.
Yeah,
that has all the DC one in one big, massive, giant volume. Oh. Like, it's huge. And then they split it into separate volumes this big, and then they split it into smaller volumes again. And
you'd have to get one of those big pedestals to open it up and read it on page by page.
Yeah, so yeah, I have five. I have Stan, Jack, X-Men, Wolverine, and the 75 years.
Nice. What's in the Wolverine one?
Just, like, his greatest hit, so... His skeleton beard ripped out, the Wolverine Origins, just like all the major like comic story arcs.
I think it's kind of funny that book would have like a whole bunch of stuff from the 2000s and late 90s, whereas this book is going all the way back to 61.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah, I saw the Deadpool one, I was like, I'm good. I saw the Avengers one, I was like, and then Captain America has one. But like I was saying before, they're not called the same thing. So if you're looking for that line, you can't find all of them listed because they're all called different types of books.
Just sort your Amazon wish list by weight.
Yeah.
By freight charge.
Yeah. Yeah, Chapters has them once in a while, like on an end cap sitting there. But they're all shrink wrapped, so you can't see how nice they are. It's like, can I look in this? Like, oh, it's shrink wrapped. You can't open it.
That's,
like, okay.
That's when you rip the shrink wrap off one. Somebody does that every time I go there. They're neat. I have Sandman Absolute Edition number one, first volume. That's the only big book like that I have. Other than I do have those DC Silver, Gold, and Bronze Age, and then the Marvel 75th one. But I definitely don't have the large print, because I have a smaller print. And then I guess Costco released versions of them too, which are edited even more. So
I used to always go down Costco's with bus, like, Marvel, where's something? Yeah. I'm like, oh, go up to the till. Actually, one time I bought two books with my girlfriend, and it was during Christmas time, and then the cashier's like, oh, somebody's gonna be a happy boy.
Yes. Also, your girlfriend does support your hobby.
Yeah, she doesn't mind.
Yeah.
She looks at a lot of the books and goes, like, this is disgusting.
Well, dirty boy.
Oh.
Yep. So other than this massive tome here, this huge book, I guess DC's doing a reboot coming up. They're hinting at.
Mm-hmm.
So at a recent, at the New York Comic Con, I think it was, they showed on the screen really quick a timeline of the DC universe. And I know you don't read a lot of DC, but basically they have events in the DC universe that kind of reset things.
I have the history of DC year by year and the encyclopedia as well, because I like to know, yeah. So I just don't read their comics.
Do you have the 2-volume prestige format history of the DC universe?
No, I don't have that.
That was really cool. That came out after Crisis, I think.
Okay.
You must be able to find that at Guardian for a buck a piece. This is just 2 volumes. But so there's like the age of basically the JSA, right? The Justice Society of America, the old 1950s stuff. Then they have the Space Age, which was more the 60s, like Adam Strange and Martian Manhunter and all that sort of stuff. And Green Lantern suddenly becoming this alien police force and stuff. And they just kind of talk about the ages. One of them's Crisis, what happened after Crisis on Infinite Earths. And the other one's Flashpoint, what happened after Flashpoint, which launches New 52 and all this stuff. So I guess there's a 5th generation, and they haven't talked about it much. But leaks are coming out, and it looks like the 5th generation is going to be launching in an event in 2020. And the idea is they're going to literally replace all of their major characters with new versions of them. So the one thing that has leaked is Batman's being replaced by Lucius Fox's son? Nephew? Son. He was a Batwing.
Oh, Batwing, yeah.
So Bruce Wayne is going to go and become like Batman Beyond. He's going to be an advisor.
Mm.
And this, I can't even remember what Lucius Fox's son, his name is, but this Fox kid is going to be the new Batman.
Didn't they do that with like Batman Inc.?
Yeah, kind of. Like Batman Inc. was sort of a one-off book where Batman created a whole bunch of extra Batmen to help fight crime in the various areas.
Yeah, around the world.
Yeah, around the world and stuff. So he basically, you know, kind of franchised the Batman thing. But this is actually going to replace Batman. Continuity, there's a new Batman. It's going to be him. What people are now connecting the dots, and they're saying that this whole 5th generation of DC, every character is going to get rebooted like that. There's going to be a new Superman. There's going to be a new Wonder Woman. There's going to be a new Flash and all this stuff. And it's not going to be the people that you think would be obvious.
Yeah.
Like you would think Damian Wayne, one of the Robins, or Tim Drake, or Dick Grayson, the Nightwing, is going to become Batman. No, it's Lucius Fox's kid.
Yeah, Lucas or Luke.
Yeah. So same thing. It's not going to be Donna Troy who replaces Wonder Woman. It's going to be somebody weird that doesn't seem like a logical choice. There's going to be. Now, the question is, since this is all rumor and speculation, is this going to be a separate publishing initiative, kind of like Marvel's Ultimates universe?
Mm-hmm.
Where, yes, this is going to happen 5 years in the future, 10 years in the future, and we're going to tell this story. Or are they actually going to replace their flagship books with these characters for a little while?
Hmm.
Nobody knows because the official announcements aren't out there. But I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, they did it before with the Silver Age and the Golden Age, right?
Yeah.
Like, we have a totally different Green Lantern in the 60s than we had in the 50s. Totally different Flash. Totally different Superman even was different, right? So, they've done it before. Can they do it again? Reason why it worked in the 60s is because you had a brand new generation. Every 4 years, you had a brand new generation of comic book readers.
Yeah.
An 8-year-old started reading comics. By the time he was 13, he was browbeaten by his peers not to read comics anymore. And then the next 8-year-old generation. So it was a new generation every few years reading the books so they could get away with it. The current generation is 50 years old.
Yeah.
And we whine and complain, legitimately or not, when Aunt May is too sexy.
Yeah.
Are we going to tolerate all new characters?
It'd be good if people did tolerate, that'd be great, because you're building new stories for new readers. And, I don't know.
Like myself, personally, I watched, like I read some Barry Allen Flash, and then after Crisis, Wally West became Flash. And I loved it. It was great. Mm-hmm. Some people were really big on Jon Stewart as a Green Lantern in the Justice League cartoons. Some people were big fans of, what's his name? The artist Green Lantern.
Alan Scott?
No.
Oh.
Young guy.
Oh, Kyle Rayner.
Kyle Rayner. So some people like Kyle Rayner as Green Lantern. Some people like Connor Hawke as Green Arrow. Mm-hmm. They kind of tried this, but not line-wide and not with their major characters. So what does this mean for licensing and stuff? You know, every time you go and buy a Robin Slurpee cup, it's Dick Grayson. You know, Tim Drake's costume in the Batman cartoon, but they call them Dick Grayson because Dick Grayson, everybody knows from the 60s TV show, is Robin. They can't grasp the concept. So is somebody going to be able to grasp the concept that Clark Kent is no longer Superman?
They're like, this isn't the right guy. Who's wearing his costume?
Or are they going to care?
Yeah.
Do people buy the Batman logo versus the Bruce Wayne persona on a t-shirt?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
You know, just people buying the Superman crest and they don't really care who the person is behind the crest? So I don't know.
Be interesting to
like, see is this is this going to be something serious and it's actually going to take foot and it's actually going to do it? Or is it going to be like a New 52 thing where they're like, okay, sorry, sorry, sorry. We apologize for messing with everything. We're going to take it right back, you old farts who keep whining at us.
It'll last 1 year and then they'll revert back.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah, that's what'll happen.
Like the same thing happened with Marvel when the Image guys came back for Heroes Reborn and they took control of, what was it, Fantastic Four, Green Arrow, no, sorry, mixing universes here. Fantastic Four, Captain America,
Avengers,
Iron Man. Was it Avengers as well? They didn't do Avengers, did they?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what else was there? There's six books, wasn't there? Or was there just two? Anyways.
Yeah.
That's when Liefeld and Jim Lee came in and rebooted everything. And it lasted exactly 1 year. And they were like, okay, sorry, we're going to put it all back. Mm-hmm. I feel like if it was more successful, they may have kept going with that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Nobody wants it.
Yeah. Silence is nobody wants it.
Nobody wants it.
And nobody wanted it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So that's like the kind of news for the news came out of
if it brings in new readers and they stay, then it's a victory.
There's no such thing as new readers for floppy comics. I keep saying this over and over again.
Oh, yeah, for singles, no. Because I'm not going to go in and, like, I don't read DC, not because I don't want to, just because nothing really interests me from their line. And if I go in there, I don't know what could entice me to drop $5-6 on a comic. Like, I don't know.
Exactly. Like, I'm literally, like, I know it sounds like a broken record, but you go into the bookstore, there's a ton of these Scholastic-sized graphics novels for kids. DC's got it, and they're making inroads in that, because they released that Mera, Aquawoman book aimed at that audience. They're releasing a Batgirl, they're releasing a Black Canary book, and they're aiming it at that audience. There's a new Green Lantern coming. It's a young Green Lantern that's going to be aimed at kids and stuff like this. And so they get it. Like, they know that's where the new readers are.
They're going to put a child in danger in these comics? Is it a kid Green Lantern, or is it just like...
Like, my kid is reading a book. It's about Bruce Wayne, Clark Kent, and Diana Prince in a public school. They're kids at a school. And it's like called Gotham High or something like this. Or Gotham... Gotham preschool.
I read X Campus. It was horrible.
Yeah.
So it's like all the, it's like X Men Evolution, the cartoon, where it's like, we're all in high school.
There you go. So she's reading a Batman Wonder Woman comic book, but just not the ones that we're thinking of.
Yeah, right? I'm sure that's fun, but that's not going to, like, no adult's going to read it, but it's not going to capture their attention to make them probably want to buy new issues for the grown ups read.
Well, yeah, like let's just be honest here. Floppy, $5.99, $4.99 for 22 pages is dead. It's dead. It's just dead. It's dying. It's dead. Us old fossils are the only ones who give a crap about it. Mm-hmm. The younger generation is coming up with original graphic novels, and that's the future. Everything's going to be released as original graphic novels. And for us old fogies, it's going to be like, okay, well, for you guys, we're going to call them trade paperbacks, air quotes. So that you guys don't feel bad, but you're just, this is how you're going to read it. Here's a 6-issue for you guys. We're going to call them chapters for everyone else.
Graphic
novel. 6-chapter original graphic novel that you buy for $14.99. Away you go. Because, like you said, the economics of it, like, what kid is going to spend $3.99 on a 20-page comic book?
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's U.S. And some of the books are $4.99 now. I'm noticing that more and more books are coming out at $4.99. So all the new number one X-Men's are all $4.99.
How many 14-year-olds walked into their local store and went like, oh, Major X, this looks interesting. I think I'll buy this.
Exactly.
Or you like, go to Bulk Barn and get some candy.
Yeah, like you go to Shopper's Drug Mart, and there's not a single comic book, not even an Archie Digest anywhere, and yet they're selling these graphic novels like Dogman and Babysitter Club and stuff like this. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, get a grip. Figure it out. That's the way it is. Comic shops. Start carrying trades. And like, it'd be interesting. I never actually talked to anybody about it, but like, place like Comic Book Addiction has a huge trade paperback section, huge graphic novel section. What's their, you know, what's their percentage? What are they selling? Like, I know it's a bit weird because us old people go to comic shops.
Yeah.
So we have a mindset. Oh, I need my floppies. And I'm like that. I want my floppies. I like my floppies. I got to put them in Mylar with a cardboard bag and put tape on them and then hide them away in my storage locker, never to be seen again. And then cry when somebody says, I'll give you 5 cents for all 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
You know? But that's just the way it is. So more and more publishers are going that route. I mean, Image knows that. Jim Zub, writer for Image Books and Marvel Books, he's got a little blog and he just keeps telling you, like, this one trade paperback that I make, I made this much money on issue one, I lost money on issue two, lost money on issue three, lost money on issue four. The trade paperback came out reprinting all four and made more money than all the rest put together. Mm-hmm. So why did I bother releasing it in singles in the first place? Why don't I release it as a trade? Yeah. But you got to build a following and shit like that and stuff like this. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
How about Legion of Superheroes? Anybody reading Legion of Superheroes?
No.
Oh, nope. Yes.
I stopped Superman just as they appeared.
Because I'm reading it. I'm getting all excited. I'm all happy for it.
Who's writing it?
Your friend.
Yeah.
Brian Michael Bendis.
That's why I'm not reading it.
Brian Michael Bendis. So it looks like it'll be fun. And now they're talking about rebooting, like, for forever and a day, Legion of Superheroes and Just Society of America were going to be rebooted after Rebirth by Geoff Johns. And that was his pet projects. And he was going to do them. But, you know, Doomsday Clock is late as poop. And he's busy with the movies and all this stuff. And he's like a producer on the Suicide Squad stuff. And so they got Bendis. And Bendis is like, okay, I'll take a swing at it. So he's coming out with this, and they're kind of hinting at a JSA book from him as well. So it's fun. You probably don't even know the Legion of Superheroes, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
They're the futuristic people from...
The futuristic people.
Yeah, look at that.
From the DC Universe.
Bunch of no-names.
Now, at one point in time in the 80s, I think your parents were born around then.
I was alive in the 80s.
Hey.
I was around.
Were you?
Yeah.
You're not as young as I think?
No.
So I'm just all about the age. It's my birthday tomorrow.
50.
Oh.
Turn 55. Oh.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
No.
It's bad. 50's the new 30. Bull crap. I don't feel 30 at all. Anyways, there was a period of time in the 80s when the new Teen Titans and Legion of Superheroes were the best-selling issues of all comics. They were selling tons and tons of copies of Legion of Superheroes and new Teen Titans. So there is a huge following for this, nostalgic-wise. And I'm excited. The two issues, Legion of Superheroes Millennium, that was pretty good. So we'll see. I mean, this is Superman's son instead of Superboy.
Hmm.
So we'll see. Should be good. I don't know. We'll see.
So we should mention tomorrow?
Yes! Oh my goodness, how could we even forget?
Yes, Peterborough Comic-Con.
Tomorrow
the venue.
Is it at the venue? Is that where it is officially?
Yeah.
And what time does it start?
10. 10 to 4, I think.
10 to 4. So Peterborough Comic-Con, our wonderful David Wallstar is putting it on twice a year.
Yeah.
And this is the fall one. I'm going to try to show up. I didn't get a table because aforementioned birthday party. So I may show up and take a look around, but it's interesting. It's going to be in the venue. I haven't been in there in a while. I think the last time I was in, no, that was in Showplace.
Yeah.
When was the last time I was in the venue?
I don't know.
I've never been in there.
It's been a while. Now, for those really people want to go nostalgic, that's the old Paramount and the Odeon movie theaters. That's where I saw Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. Star Wars, I think I saw at the Paramount.
I was going to say, I've been in there, because then you went to Boomerangs right beside it.
Boomerangs?
Yeah. Is that right? Boomerangs?
No.
Yeah, isn't that right beside it? downtown? What? Boomerangs just like laser tag and garbage like that, like a Chuck E. Cheese?
What?
Beside the Eaton Center when it was in there.
Oh my gosh. No, no, no.
No?
No, we're going further back than that.
Okay, never mind.
We're going further back than that. That's when the theater before Galaxy. The Galaxy took over the old theaters and converted it.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking like one block over.
Yeah, no. On George Street, Showplace. You know Showplace?
Yep.
And right beside the venue. Those used to be the two movie theaters in Peterborough. Okay.
Yeah. You're going back to the 50s.
Way going back. Oh, yeah. 1977.
Before I was born.
And then they opened up the Cineplex at Lansdowne Place.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P.
Yeah. And that was the big thing. And then they opened up the one where the Galaxy is right now, and the Cineplex became the bargain movie theater. You could go in there and get your feet sticky on the floor for $3 a movie. Mm-hmm. And then they refurbished the one downtown into the Galaxy.
Yeah. And then Lansdowne Places was the 250
yeah.
theaters where I saw Hercules, the cartoon movie. It was my friend and a dad and his kid in the back. We're like, oh my God, this is great.
What was the name of the movie theater before it was the Galaxy?
Can't remember.
Yeah,
there was a small cinema downtown as well. It's like cinema, then just a number, whatever the George Street like unit number was.
Yeah,
it's like a little mom and pop like art. It was an artsy place. They showed Hard Candy because my friend worked there.
There you go.
He's just like, old people come in. It's like, this is Hard Candy. You know what it's about? They're like, yeah. And he's like, okay.
I remember that the Paramount and the Odeon, the one had a balcony, and they converted the balcony into a second movie theater. So that's when multiplexes were coming in. So instead of like one movie playing all week, they put they converted the balcony into a screen. So that was two. The other one, they just put a wall in the middle and they had two movies. Anyways, boys and girls, that's pretty close to our time. Just a quick reminder that we're available on Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes.
Any podcast catcher, really.
Really? There's some other ones.
Podcast Addict.
And I was kind of interested to see exactly how soon after I uploaded to the website they show up. Because I uploaded the last episode on a Monday and it was on Google Play on Thursday. So I don't know how fast their worm travels. Other than that, we will see you folks next Friday. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.